Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Before we get to the picture that's up here, and I will get to the picture that's up here, I want to ask a question. How many of you have ever heard of a piece of art called a triptych? One. Okay. That works. I figured that was going to be the case. I didn't think we'd have many. A triptych is a piece of art. You see it, you hear in the prefix of the word tri, so you imagine that it's three different pieces of art that are put together. A lot of triptychs have been used in religion, especially in Germany throughout the Middle Ages. They were used in altarpieces. They depicted things like creation, the fall, and the restoration of humanity. What we have in our Old Testament lesson today is a bit of a triptych. And the triptych's theme is the relationship between the prophet Elijah up here and his relationship with his God, Yahweh. I imagine the triptych this way. On the right-hand side of the on the left-hand side of the triptych, you have the story of Elijah and the prophets of Baal. You remember that story, don't you? Elijah goes up to the top of the mountain. There's been a famine for 7 years, and the prophets of Baal are up there, and Elijah confronts them and tells them, if your God exists, let him start a fire on the offering that is on the altar. And they all try and get the fire to start on the altar, but it doesn't work at all. And then Elijah pours water on his altar and on his offering three different times so that it is drenched in water. And then Elijah prays. And the whole offering is consumed. And not only is the offering consumed, the altar is consumed. And not only is the altar and the offering consumed, so Elijah is moved in the spirit of the Lord to destroy the prophets of Baal, this false god, so that none of them will live. That's the story that precedes our Old Testament lesson today. Then, on the right-hand side of this triptych is the story of 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 9 through 18. Another famous story where God speaks to Elijah at Mount Horeb, which is another name for Mount Sinai. And God speaks to Elijah, not in a strong wind, nor in an earthquake, but in a low whisper. And he reminds Elijah to be faithful and that God would support him in faithful ministry, not only throughout the days of his life, but throughout the days of all creation. And yet nestled in between these two stories is the picture that I have right up here. It's a picture of our Old Testament lesson. You've got the prophet Elijah up here, and you've got him sitting right next to a tree. The Old Testament lesson reads this way. Elijah is scared for his life, and he's hiding underneath a broom tree because the king of Israel and his wife, Ahab and Jezebel, are upset. They're upset because Elijah overthrew all of the prophets of Baal, and they have all been killed. The ruler of Israel should be moved to repentance at this point, to realize that he has been sacrificing to false gods throughout his life. But Ahab and Jezebel are not moved to repentance for their sinful idolatry. Instead of hearing the word of God and taking it to heart, they take their anger out on those who do good in the sight of the Lord. So Jezebel says, so may it be done unto you and more also, if I make your life as one of them tomorrow. Basically saying, I'm going to kill you, Elijah. You better watch out. And so Elijah runs, and he hides underneath that broom tree, and he despairs his life. His words show that he is on the verge of being merely suicidal. It's one of the saddest prayers that anyone could ever pray. It is enough, O Lord, take my life. But the Lord was not done with Elijah. In fact, right after the prayer, the Lord comes down and speaks directly to Elijah, answering his prayer in an unexpected way. In fact, the Lord answers Elijah's prayer, his one prayer, the Lord answers it twice, telling him to arise and eat. Twice, the Lord himself, God himself, comes down and says to him, arise and eat. Twice, the Lord himself comes down and gives him a small cake and water. Elijah's prayer is answered, but not in the way that he expected it, in God's way. And when God answered the prayer, Elijah was able to make the journey from Beersheba to Mount Horeb, about 260 miles, in about 40 days, over the strength of two meager meals. Elijah's prayers were answered underneath the broom tree. Can we get this slide to change? There we go. Okay. Like Elijah, the story of Saint Augustine is similar. He's an early church father. He also reads like a triptych. On the left side of the picture is a worldly picture of Saint Augustine. Not this picture here yet, but a different picture. This worldly picture of Saint Augustine is a man who loves the world in which he lives. He loves it so much that he partakes of orgies, drunkenness, and other illicit sexual behavior. That's St. Augustine's own words, by the way. So you can imagine what this picture looks like before we get to this picture up here at the top. And then we've got, on the other side of this triptych, we've got the picture of St. Augustine. He's holding his hands in a blessing. He's robed like a pastor. He's holding up a tome in his hand, almost like to show what he has written throughout his life. So in between this worldly picture of Augustine and this saintly picture of Augustine, we have this picture up here, the story of Augustine's conversion. Although Augustine had spent his former years in licentious behavior, by the middle years of his life, Augustine grew fond of Christianity. But, like all of us, he had a hard time giving up on his sinful pleasures. You can imagine how Augustine felt, can't you? You know how hard it is to give up a sinful habit during Lent? Now multiply that by 1,000. That's how Augustine felt. That's what this picture up here depicts. Augustine is in agony. So what does he do? Like Elijah, he goes down underneath the tree. Now the tree that Augustine goes down underneath is not a broom tree. Instead, it's a fig tree. And like Elijah, Augustine prays a prayer. His prayer is basically this: but you, O Lord, how long, O Lord, will you be angry with me forever? Do not remember my sinful ways. How long, Lord, how long? Will you not answer my prayers now? Will you not take away my sinfulness at this moment? And then God answers his prayer. Like Elijah, Augustine hears a voice speaking to him. But Augustine doesn't hear the words arise and eat. Instead, he hears the words in Latin, tole lege. tole lege, which means take up and read, take up and read. Augustine understood what these words meant. He took up his Bible immediately, and he flipped open his Bible to the first passage that he could open up, which happened to be Romans chapter 13, verses 13 and 14, where these words are written. Let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies or drunkenness, not in sexual immorality or sensuality, not in quarreling or jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. Augustine, when he later in his life talks about this, he talks about how he understood exactly what those words meant. It was as if the Bible was speaking to him directly. It was as if Christ himself had come up to him and said, "Take and eat my words." And once he had taken and eaten the words, once he had read, marked, and inwardly digested them, he found that he was at peace to walk in the light of Christ. So I told you about Elijah and his sad prayer. And I told you about Augustine and his sad prayer. Both of them, we have the answer to the prayer coming in an unexpected way. So what about us? Our lives also are like a triptych. We have three paintings, as you would say, in our lives. On the one hand, on the left-hand side of our paintings is all of our life that brought us to this day, all of the challenges that brought us to this moment, whether it is abuse or neglect, sinful vices, unbearable thoughts, or even a past that haunts you. That's on the left side. Then, on the right side, we have our life once we hear the word of God and it envelops who we are. We have the picture of who we will be in Christ Jesus, robed in white, sitting with the angels and the archangels and with all the company of heaven, lauding and glorifying God's name and crying out, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive thanksgiving and honor and blessing and glory and might forever." But today, where you are today, is neither where you were, your past and your sinfulness, nor the future, where you will be when you see your Lord on the last day. Instead, we're stuck here right in the middle. We're encumbered by our past, and yet we are waiting for our future. So what do? We pray. Like Elijah, like Augustine, we throw up our hands and we pray. That's what we learn from Augustine and Elijah. When our prayers become so troublesome that we cannot fix them ourselves, we pray. We pray and we learn that God does answer our prayers, but sometimes he answers them in the least expected way possible. By the way, that's why I had us sing the hymn of the day that we did. I want to share with you just a few of those words again so you can think about them and what they mean for you in the prayers that you have. Be still, my soul, before the Lord, for God is always near. Before your mind is moved to pray, God listens and will hear. Wait then in confidence, your anxious thoughts at rest. God knows your needs before you ask and works for what is best. Be still, my soul, before the Lord. On God in patience wait. God's love unseen surrounds your life. God's help will not be late. Elijah, in our Old Testament lesson, threw up his hands and prayed, "It is enough, O Lord, take my life." And God answered his prayer. Augustine prayed, "How long, O Lord? How long, O Lord, will you take away my sinfulness right now? Why don't you do it right now?" And God answered his prayer. God answers your prayers too. So pray. But more than pray, know that your prayers are answered. And no, your prayers might not be answered in as flashy of a way as Elijah's was with a cake and water, although that would be really cool. And no, your prayers are probably not going to be answered with the voice of an angel coming to you and saying, "Tole lege, tole lege," and you opening up your Bible immediately and knowing what it is. But God does answer your prayers. So that way, you can move from your sinful life through your present to that final side of the triptych where you will be with God forever. And so we pray. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and protect your hearts and minds through faith unto life everlasting. Amen.